Off the Ball Rugby.
No, I've probably apologised for the first one. I think that's where you have to get rid of that in rugby. You know, tucked shoulder to the head. That's, yeah, because then guys aren't going to jackal, so, you know, that just, my only thing for Leo now was to say sorry for that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.
Hello, hello, welcome to Word on the Street. Welcome back, I should say. We didn't have an episode last week because Eve and Rachel both left me to go on holidays. And as much as I'm sure you all love Watts, as we do call it, I'm not sure you wanted to hear me rattle on to myself for half an hour. So I gave you the relief from that one. But we're back, all three of us in studio, our favourite time of the week. How are we, ladies?
Great. Great to be back. Not great to be back to the rain.
Yeah.
Did enjoy the holidays, but it was a nice little reprieve.
Where were you?
I was in Corfu.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, my holidays were less exciting. I was just still in Dublin. I just had a day off work.
Oh, just took a break?
I went to see Les Mis, actually,
in
the Three Arena.
If you get Eve started on Les Mis, we're going to have to cancel the pod. We're going to be here for another hour. As a fellow fan, I'm not opposed to that. We could rattle on here for an hour on Les Mis.
But that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. Yeah.
Yes, instead we're going to rattle on for about half an hour on the word on the street this week, which is Katie Taylor and her big fight in Crow Park. We haven't had an episode since it was even announced that this was happening, let alone the ticket sales. So what was your guys' reaction to it? It felt like to me that it was a long time coming. She had been talking about it for ages. It was just a matter of when rather than if.
I don't know. She's been talking about it specifically since the 20th of January, because it was at the launch of the Ladies Football League in Crow Park that she made that big plea saying, not plea, but announcement saying, I want to retire after this fight and I want my final fight to be in Crow Park and nothing else will do. Bit of a Newbridge or nowhere situation for her. And at the time, it was like, how good would this be? It would be incredible, but it almost felt like, is it a bit of a dream?
Mm.
And you know, Patrick O'Donovan, the Minister for Sport, came out pretty much immediately and said, this is a matter for the GAA and Katie Taylor. Like, the government won't be getting involved. This is something they need to work out together. When I saw that, I was like, oh, there seemed to be quite a lot of barriers in place. And when I was on halls, when I saw the news that it was going to happen, like, for sure, September 5th, usually a time you'd associate with All Ireland's, like, this is incredible. You know, happy days. She said exactly, she's like, I'm not going to do this anywhere else. I only want to do it in Crow Park. Didn't give up and got what she wanted. Yes, Katie.
Yeah, how about you, Eve? Were you surprised?
Yeah, in a way, I wasn't surprised that she had wanted it, you know, so badly. Such an iconic venue. And for it to be definitively her final fight, I think is what I didn't understand. So from my opinion, I understand why people were a bit hesitant. You know, oh my God, will she sell out the tickets? Is it going to be too expensive for your average person to get a ticket? What's the security going to be like? I understood all of those concerns. But I didn't understand that people couldn't understand that her final fight is such a big deal.
Mm.
Like, it's not just your run-the-mill average boxer fighting at Crow Park. This is arguably Ireland's greatest sports person, you know? So I felt myself that even the narrative of her final fight would be enough to shift a majority of tickets. But what we're seeing now is it's already in pre-sale shifted half of Crow Park, according to her promoters, which is insane.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at why it took so long to get over the line. I was just reading this morning that the stumbling block, as you said, the biggest thing was the cost of the security concerns. Mm. So Eddie Hearn wanted Crow Park to pay for that. Crow Park was saying, nah, it's going to cost apparently in the ballpark of 500,000 just for the security. They're already paying 400,000 on top of that for the rent of Crow Park. So it's costing Eddie Hearn and the company quite a bit of money, which I think is really interesting because I wouldn't follow boxing that closely. I know he's obviously huge at selling things out, but he's all about money. Like, that's the biggest thing for him and his company is to make money. And apparently he said in a press conference that we're not going to necessarily make a huge amount of money out of this. And it's really interesting because it's just kind of backwards to what usually he'd be all about. And I think it in a way shows that Katie has even touched him and he's all about this cause and he wants it to be the big grand final fight for her, regardless of almost the profit that it makes.
Yeah, he's spoken about that before, about the first time that he met Katie Taylor and spoke to her, that he was blown away by her presence and her as a person. Mm. And it's incredible for them to do that, to not care about making a big profit, which is great. It's kind of the opposite of what we hear so often with sport, and it's all about the money and it's all about this. And I mean, in the long run, it's going to do them the world of good to be associated with a fight like this.
Do you think? Like, will people remember Matchroom? They were the people who got Katie Taylor over the line. Or will they just remember Katie Taylor fought in Crow Park and her for the day?
I think it's a legacy thing. And I think within the world of boxing itself, being associated with Katie Taylor, and especially if this fight goes on and goes well, I think just purely on a PR point of view for them, it's great. From a legacy point of view for them, it's great, especially if she wins it.
And it's a one-off. We're never going to have, we might have boxing matches in Crow Park in the future, but you're never going to have a fight of this stature and this importance again. Like, yeah, you know, the last fight that was in Crow Park was Muhammad Ali. Mm. And even then, yeah, it's Muhammad Ali, it's great, but this is an Irish person, like you said, one of our greatest ever athletes, giving her swan song. That was a tricky one. Giving her swan song in Crow Park. So for them, I think, even if they lost money on this fight, which they won't, it wouldn't matter. And you can already picture it being on Reeling in the Ears in 20 years' time.
True. And I suppose Eddie Hearn, whether like the company is passed on it, his name will be associated with his
face across all the media that they've done over the last week. Wherever Katie Taylor has been, he's been right next door.
She's been everywhere.
She has been everywhere. Yeah. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But first, we were out and about on the streets of Dublin, as we always are, this morning. And as you said, Eve, yesterday, 40,000 tickets already sold, or so announced by Eddie Hearn, in the pre-sale. And the general sale goes on sale. That's a lot of on sale, but you know what I mean. Goes live tomorrow. Yes. But we were chatting to a lad who already has his tickets secured.
Can't wait. Tickets are a little bit expensive, but we got them in the end.
You've already got them?
I think a pre-sale yesterday, yeah.
Wow, were you surprised then? Well, obviously not, that it sold out so quickly.
No. I'd say there'll be such a demand for tickets close to the time as well.
Why do you want to go so badly? What's so amazing about it?
She's the pride of the country. She's probably our best athlete over the last 20 years or so. Like, so it's good to get behind her, and we haven't really had an opportunity to see her here. Like, so it'll be good to actually properly support her.
Yeah. Would you be a boxing fan in general?
I would be. I'd be more probably into UFC than boxing, but if she's Irish, everyone will get behind her. Like,
do you think, because obviously your mates were saying they're going as well, potentially, do you think it's permeated beyond like boxing fans? Like, everybody just wants to go see her?
It is definitely beyond boxing fans, yeah. Like, I know lads that have booked tickets and probably never watched boxing a match in their lives, like, so. It's definitely an Irish thing, more so than a boxing thing, so. Yeah, it's good.
Does it make it extra special that it's going to be in Crow Park?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Sure, I was on the hill on Saturday for the Dubs. She came at halftime, and the biggest cheer I've seen there in a while, like, so. Yeah, it'll be extra special, 100%. Sure, like, I think Muhammad Ali was the last fight there, like, and, oh, class, can't wait.
Do you think her promotional campaign has been good? She's been all over the country, like on local radio stations and stuff like that.
100%, because like, I don't even think she needs it, to be honest, to get people behind her. I think people are already behind her, but it's good to see her getting a bit of recognition from a bit of the mainstream. It is good to see, like, because you haven't seen her, like, her fights against Serrano and stuff like that. Like, it wasn't too heavily pushed, but it's good to see her getting a bit of recognition. Like,
I feel like this promotional campaign is quite interesting. It's led by Aiken Promotions, who came on kind of near the end, Peter Aiken, and I think he's been a key middleman in helping this get over the line between maybe the intenseness of Eddie Hearn and then maybe the more traditionalists in Crow Park and the GA. He's just been a good in the middle. But yeah, it's kind of nice to see the power of radio stations all around the country and local media and what it's done for her and how they've used it, because they could have just splashed this all over socials and said, you know, that's enough, that's our digital campaign, that's what we're doing. But it's such a different approach going into the likes of your I don't know, local Waterford station or whatever, sitting down, having a chat and having that come into people's living rooms. It's really personal and I think it's done wonders for her.
Yeah, I mean, she was down in Red FM as well in Cork during the week, and I've just seen like a couple of people I know had selfies up with her on Instagram. Mm. You know, she was bopping around, and in fairness to her, like, she's given 110% to absolutely every single one. Like, she's so engaged in all of the interviews she's doing, and she's standing in for pictures with everyone, and you can tell how much it means to her, and I'm so glad that she's done it. But she's gone back to the US now, I think, as of yesterday. I'm delighted she'll be able to take a break and prepare for the fight, but great to have this block done and out of the way, and it's clearly working. I mean, 40,000 tickets sold in pre-sale already.
It's
so effective, because when you think of events that will ordinarily sell out huge stadiums like that, like an All-Ireland final or like an Ireland football match, say in the Aviva or something like that, you have a team that has an established set of fans.
Mm.
Whereas if you are Katie Taylor on her own, knowing that the vast majority of people in Ireland, while they know her, would have never seen her fight. I mean, think of how few people went over to Madison Square Garden or went against Amanda Serrano or went over to London 2012. Like, there was huge Irish support, but that's still a percentage of a percentage of a percentage of people who'll be seeing her at Croke Park. Since you don't have an established fan base that can follow you to and from your fights, this kind of promotional push of getting into people's, as you said, living rooms and even meeting people on the street and being like, oh yeah, this is our only chance to see Katie Taylor fight. I think it's been a wonderful campaign.
It adds to the personal touch as well of her being just this legend of Irish sport, because as you said, some people might not resonate with her specifically for the sport because they wouldn't watch a whole lot of boxing.
Yeah.
But they resonate with her because of who she is and what she's done for Irish women, for Irish sport in general. We were chatting to someone, a girl, she wasn't that young. She was probably our age, but I still consider myself
quite
young. She was
in her prime. She was really old.
She might have been younger than us. She might have been in college.
Yeah, 20s.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Who wasn't necessarily a boxing fan, but similarly to that, just really resonated with Katie.
Are you a boxing fan or more of a Katie Taylor fan in general?
More of a Katie Taylor fan. I wouldn't really follow the boxing, but just hearing all of her success, it's really inspirational. So,
would you tune in, do you reckon, even though you're not necessarily a boxing fan, but just because it's Katie Taylor?
I would, definitely. I think just seeing what she does and like seeing, especially like Ireland's such a small country, and then seeing her and all of her success, it's amazing. So definitely just because of her.
Would there be a lot of talk around your friend group now, people getting tickets that wouldn't be even usually going to sporting events?
There would be, to be fair. We'd be kind of into more different sports, but like, again, because it's Katie Taylor and like the big name, there'd be a lot of talk. So yeah.
Do you have any and you don't have to, but any opinions on boxing itself? Because we were just chatting to someone who thought, do you know, it being for kids and advocated to family friendly is a bit kind of ironic because it's such an aggressive and violent sport.
I don't really know. Like, I think Katie Taylor's gone through a lot with her being a woman, and I feel like it's more directed as like a male kind of sport. So then because like she's a woman, it's kind of not like out of the blue, but like I think it's good that she stands up and does what she likes to do.
I would be kind of on her exact wavelength of I don't follow boxing at all, but I was 10 years old during London 2012, and that was my abiding memory of kind of that whole tournament is Katie Taylor. And even if you're not a fan of the sport, and even if you're not necessarily classified as an event junkie or whatever, it's just the fact of this being a huge historic moment in Irish sporting history. It's enough to get anyone really excited.
Yeah. Back on the radio thing that we were chatting about before that, she said, I don't know if you guys saw this, she said in an interview with Northern Sound FM, which is a Cavan and Monaghan local station, I don't know how it came up. I presume she was asked if she would ever run for president. And she said, quote, I actually do love this country and I definitely wouldn't rule it out because I think it's important to have integral leaders all over this country.
It feels like she's doing a presidential campaign, actually.
It kind of does. And I feel like people would vote for her.
I would. I'd follow that woman anywhere. You know, she's got such a presence. And
into the RS.
Into the RS, yeah. Sorry, that was such an off-piece comment, Susanna.
I just threw it in out of anywhere. But it just, when I was chatting to people today and off the back of that clip, it feels like regardless of the sport, she is just loved for everything that she represents and everything she's done.
Oh yeah, it was the non-boxing fan. Like, yeah. I have no idea who her opponent is. I don't know anything about boxing.
I don't care.
Outside of the, I watch it during the Olympics. I watch it when an Irish fighter is in a big sporting event, like a World Championship or a European Championships. And it's just a testament to how powerful she is as a person. Like, my own group chat at home has been hopping since. Like, everyone's trying to get tickets. Everyone's going.
Are you going?
Tomorrow, I'm going to be in that queue to get the tickets. I missed the memo from the pre-sale. Just unorganised. But there'll be a whole crew of them going up, and it's just class.
Yeah.
Speaking of her opponent, we probably should mention who she's fighting. She's fighting a French woman called Flora Pili. Not sure how you pronounce that. Pili.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of interesting. I don't know if this is interesting to anybody else, but how it came about. So it's Katie's chance to become a 3-time undisputed champion. Pili is also unbeaten, so she has a 12-0 record. And she was basically the mandatory challenger. So somebody called Sandy Ryan... So Taylor, was the WBC champion, but she vacated the belt in 2025 to take some time off boxing. Then a champion called Sandy Ryan was the WBC champion, but she is pregnant. So she's been basically named a champion in recess. So she can come back whenever she wants to, but for now she's taking a break, obviously. So that title is now vacant, and that is what is going to be fought between Taylor and Pili. And it's the chance for Katie to unify all the belts in her final fight and become the undisputed champion for the 3rd time in her career. So there's actually a lot on the line in terms of the sport itself, not just the event.
And she did speak as well on the news saying that she wants this to be a proper fight.
Mm.
It at the end of the day, with all the fanfare and all the emotion of the event, it is a boxing match. And, you know, she's been on, you know, she's a champion. So she's obviously... As well as just the event, she wants to go out and win. And she said she wants a real proper opponent and fighting someone who's undefeated. You know, who's like, is she 12 years younger than her as well? I mean, Katie Taylor's going to be 40 this summer, which is also...
She'll be 40
brilliant.
This summer? I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
Pili is 28, I believe.
Wow. Yeah, so she's not phoning it in either, just with an easy one that she knows she's going to win on home patch. Like, it's going to be a really difficult fight for her, and fair play, because I think that could have been something that she could have done. Has been more of like an exhibition match feel to it as opposed to a real challenging fight.
Do you think she needs to win for it to be the day that...
No, I think it is what it is already, the fact that it's happening, but obviously you'd want her to win.
Does anyone remember watching Roger Federer's farewell match? He played doubles with Rafa Nadal at the Rod Laver, the Laver Cup. And I just remember watching that match. I mean, everyone knew it was his retirement match, and there was this big ceremony afterwards, like, and they had this wonderful montage, and he gave a speech, and everyone was crying. But they lost the doubles match. And I just remember sitting down afterwards watching this montage of Roger Federer retiring, and I was very emotional. But also I was going, couldn't have bloody won that match. So I feel like it's, either way, this will be, you know, a farewell to her and her career and whatever, and everything she's done for boxing and for Ireland and for women athletes in Ireland and for boxing in Ireland and everything. But at the same time, I really, really
please
want
win.
Her to win. Please win. I think, you know, she's the experience versus the kind of youth will make an interesting fight. I like that.
I do think in the wake of Federer, though, nobody really remembers that he lost that final game.
They just really remember him
for the legend he is. So I think it'll probably be similar.
Yeah, long term, nothing.
Well, although it's such a big event. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Does it need to sell out?
I just think it will.
Mm.
It's funny. Maris Brosnan had an article in The Examiner a couple of weeks ago, and it was the question on everyone's lips saying, will Katie Taylor fill Crow Park? You know, because it's fair enough, a lot of the time, we're wondering, especially with like Camogie and ladies football, we're talking about attendance and how there isn't an atmosphere there if it's not full, and should those games be moved for, you know, like a smaller capacity to create more of an atmosphere. And then he just screenshotted the title of his article last night with 40,000 tickets sold during pre-sale. It's like, that speaks for itself.
Yeah. We're going to bring you some audio from the streets again from this morning on a guy talking about this topic exactly because he thinks it really does need to sell out for it to be an event.
I'm delighted for her. She's an Irish legend.
Were you surprised that the 40,000 sold out so quickly yesterday?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe everything Eddie Hearn tells me. and only because he's a boxing promoter and that's his job. He does a lot of talking. That's fine. I've no problem with that. I do a bit of talking myself. But what I'd say to you is, just because he said there's 40,000 tickets sold, I don't think 40,000 tickets were sold. But at the same time, if there was even 20,000 sold, I think we're well on the way to selling out Croke Park, which would be brilliant because, you know, I've been to Croke Park, I've supported Dubs, and I've gone to Robbie Williams concerts and Take That and stuff like that. And when Croke Park is not full, it's not a nice place to be. You know, last weekend, Dubs played against Louth in the first round of the All-Ireland, and 16,000 people showed up. And like 16,000 in an 83,000 capacity stadium is abysmal.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping, for Katie's sake, that they fill the whole stadium. You know, even 70 plus thousand would be great, yeah, but 83,000 would be brilliant.
Do you think they will sell out? Because obviously the last time boxing came to Croke Park, they only sold something like 18,000 for Muhammad Ali. But yeah, Katie Taylor is a national hero.
68 or something, yeah, there when Muhammad Ali fought here. Boxing probably wasn't as big in Ireland as it is now. And women's boxing, Katie's kind of put on a map, her and Kelly Harrington. Yeah, Kelly Harrington and Katie have pushed women's boxing to a new stratosphere in this country. Certainly in Europe and the world as well, with their Olympic and their exploits. But I see the Irish people coming out in force for this, because like the tickets are reasonably priced. €38 is very reasonably priced, so I really am hopeful that it will sell out. In fact, I'm fairly sure it will.
1972 was the last and first boxing event in Croke Park with Muhammad Ali. A couple of comments on X. Someone called Duff, I assume that's not his real name, said
it's Damien Duff.
That's not. No, it's not. If Low Case 30,000 attend, for example, that's not a flop. She gets to live out her dream fighting in Croke Park, and that's 29,000 more than watch women's boxing before her first fight. Headlining Croke Park, she is and forever will be one of our best. Ozzy Ryan said, if Ali couldn't get the crowd, I don't think Katie will. Sorry for her. I think she has been great. Be a sad way to go out if it's half empty. Well, considering 40,000 have sold already. Sorry, Ozzy Ryan, I think you're incorrect.
But also, it's like Croke Park isn't full for the vast majority of sporting events that happen there. You know,
yeah,
like when is Croke Park filled out? It's a huge concert or the All-Ireland finals.
Yeah, All-Ireland semi-finals, All-Ireland finals.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's... no
it
one's
will be full,
no,
I think.
No one's saying that we should, you know, stop Leinster rugby playing at the Aviva because it can only sell 10,000 tickets.
Well, Eve, it's funny you should mention that.
Foreshadowing a clip for later
on. Oh my God.
It's funny
you should mention that.
Yeah.
Keep going, sorry.
But, you know, but as Rachel said as well, I actually am, I'm not that worried. I think she will get a huge crowd. I mean, the undercard's not even been announced yet.
No. It is interesting, though, that he said he thinks Eddie Hearn is lying.
I find, you know what, if he is, he's doing a great job, because now everyone's going to go on Friday. There's only 40,000 tickets left. I must.
Like Rachel.
Yes.
Yeah. And I do love the pricing as well. Mm. I know people were complaining that when they logged on, there were only expensive ones left, but that's just because of the way pre-sale goes, I assume.
That happens all the time. Yeah. I remember trying to get Oasis tickets and I finally got to the top of the queue and it was like, do you want to pay €650 to see Oasis? I was like, no.
Yeah, they've done really well with the pricing. You know, they've made it really accessible for people.
Benjam on X said it'll sell out quicker than Oasis.
Ooh.
So we'll see. But yeah, ticket prices, family of four, $125.50 in a non-alcoholic sector of the stadium. Then you can get Hogan Stand and Cusack Stand tickets start at €38.70, and then pitch side prices range from €106 to €1,500, which is a bit wild, but I guess that's what you pay for prime seats. Just on that, it was interesting. A couple of people were saying that, you know, they went on and they were meant to have €40 tickets, but then all of a sudden the cheapest they could find was like €266 or €800, a couple of people were saying. But then others said that, like David Dorman on Reddit said, he was 16,000th in the queue. He got through and none were available, but he kept just refreshing it. And then eventually three lower Cusack seats came up for $105 each. He's very happy. Similar, somebody was 10,000th in the queue. They were offered at $760, but eventually got four for $45. So it might have just been a bit of a patience thing that you needed to refresh and wait for it to come up. I think the fact that so many people were on there, I think there was a queue of like 30,000 when it first went live,
yeah,
shows the demand, even if all 40,000 didn't actually
sell out.
Like Ticketmaster is just a pain on the best of days.
That's just true.
For the demand that was there yesterday, I'm actually pleasantly surprised with how many people had good experiences.
Yes. Another clip from, I don't have his name unfortunately, but that wonderful man we were chatting to on kind of the family friendly nature of this event and how much kids will enjoy going to it.
Yeah, of course the kids love her because she's such an icon and she's such a nice person, isn't she? Like when she talks, people listen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm impressed by her. I know she's a Christian and she's very religious, which is fine. I'm not religious, but I like everything she says. Everything. I've never heard her saying anything that I didn't agree with, so that's unusual. You know, I think she's fantastic. I really do. I'd be delighted if Croke Park stands up to applaud her and she wins, finishes on a winning note. That'd be an extra bonus. That'd be the cherry and the icing on the cake, wouldn't it, really, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. At that launch in Croke Park on the 28th of January, Katie spoke and I have never felt such a presence of one person just being on stage. And the way he says it as well, like she's got her beliefs, she's got a really strong faith, and she spoke about that on the stage, but it was never her pushing something on the crowd. She was just saying like, look, you know, I'm religious, I've got a really strong faith, I put my belief in God, and that's just her thing, you know. It's what she believes in. And you couldn't hear a pin drop in the entire room, and you had inter-county athletes, it was full of them, you know, from all the counties, and these are at least they're at their top of their game. And when I spoke to them afterwards, they were like, that was so moving. They were like, we brought so much of that we're going to be able to bring home to our own teams to speak about in the dressing rooms. I wrote a full page of notes. I was actually reading them back earlier as if I was a professional athlete and going to need this advice going forward. But she was so private for so long and she really did her talking in the ring. She even said at that launch, she's like, I actually rather getting punched in the face than speaking to the media. But we've seen such a new side to her recently. I know she got married and she's been spending a lot more time in the US, but it's really nice to see this side of her personality. And she just demands respect wherever she is, A, because of what she's achieved in the sport, and she put the entire sport on the map. Mm. She told a story that day about the night before she fought in an exhibition match, and she was told that this is going to be the deciding factor on whether women's boxing is allowed in the 2012 Olympics or not. They campaigned for it to be brought to Beijing, but it wasn't allowed. And she said, I just dropped to my knees in the hotel room and was crying because I realised that this isn't just about me anymore and whether I win my fight. But if we box well tomorrow, it's going to be put in the Olympics. And to put the pressure of that on one or two women's shoulders is huge, but she carried it. And you can see the way she didn't settle for anything else other than Croke Park for her final fight. I mean, she's been fighting all her life for rights. She was in the first sanctioned women's boxing match in Ireland. So it's not like she was kind of breaking down barriers for something that was already there.
Mm.
Like she created the door and then punched it down. And I just love that she set her stall so early to say, I want to fight in Croke Park for my last fight and I'm going to accept nothing else.
Yeah, it's incredible. She's continued literally boxing down doors right until her very last fight,
yeah,
which is amazing. Matthew as well, who was at the press conference on the Friday that it was announced, was saying she's so quiet. She sits up there in an event that's all about her and really doesn't say a word. But then when she opens her mouth, everybody listens. She just has this presence, and the way she speaks and what she says is more important than rattling off for 20 minutes. She can say so much with a few words, which I think is why so many people respect her as well. Not just for what she's done, but just the power she almost holds over a room.
Yeah, and she spoke as well that day about the talent that she was given, and does she feel a pressure? And she said no. She's like, look, I was clearly given a lot of this talent. You know, she would reference like, God gave me this talent.
Mm.
She said, it would be wasteful of me not to use it in the most powerful way I could. And my God, she has done that tenfold.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Just on the kids, not to bring a negative side, but I thought this was a bit of a hot take that I was thinking about the other day when we decided to do this podcast. But the more I've spoken to people, the more I realize maybe it's a shared hot take. But the fact that this was advertised to kids and it being family friendly and to kids who might not know anything about boxing, who might not be involved in the sport, for parents to bring them along, make this a family day, did seem strange in my mind, because boxing's not a particularly, I don't know how to say this without sounding controversial, but it's maybe slightly more aggressive and slightly more violent than you would want your kids watching.
Couldn't disagree more, but I feel like I've been talking for a while. If you want to come in.
Wait, let's play the audio first, because I'm not the only one who has this view. So someone we were chatting to on the street today brought this up unprompted. So let's listen to her and then we'll come back and chat about it.
I think the family-friendly aspect is interesting. I think that there's got to be a certain level of protection and support, and like, this is a sport, this is not something that you should go and then take into schools or whatever. Like, I think that that's a significant angle that needs to be addressed with marketing it to like families.
They're marketing this to parents of maybe people who don't watch boxing, kids who haven't gotten into it. Do you think a parent might have an issue with bringing their kid to watch a boxing event?
100%. Like, absolutely. Like, I think that there's people who aren't aware, who might be doing it anyway, and they should be made aware so that they're not, you know, surprised when they get there. But also, like, with the right support, I think that it can be shown to kids, and it's okay to be shown to kids, but like, not blindly.
I think if you're going to a Katie Taylor fight, you know what you're going into. And the kids probably know what you're going. I mean, as I said, I was 10 watching London 2012. I didn't go and punch somebody at school the next day. I don't know. I think when you hear about kids, especially kind of you hear so many stories about kids who join boxing clubs and it's so beneficial for them, and you hear people talk about it, you know, that about what it's given them, this sport. And yeah, it's not everyone's cup of tea, and I can understand that the sport itself is violent. When you're talking about it being family friendly or not, I nearly would say that the alcohol could be a bigger issue, or like a bit of trouble maybe in and around North Dublin or Dublin at that time of night, you know, because it's going to end at what, 11 or something like, or later, and there's not exactly great transport links to and from Croke Park. That's the only thing I'd be like, do you want young kids travelling kind of to and from? But that's an issue with every venue in Dublin, because our public transport late at night isn't hectic.
But
that's
I
don't understand the, you're going to a boxing match. It's not,
no,
like, real.
I would agree. I think, like, you go watch a rugby match, there's a huge amount of contact in that.
I was just about to ask you that. Like, you'd see people coming off a rugby pitch almost as bet up as boxers.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. I think, like, Eve brought it up there. I think, like, when she fought in the Three Arena back in 23, there was a bit of chaos in and around the event. A lot of drunk fans. Which you do get at rugby matches, but I don't think you quite get to the same extent. I think this is, for some fans, and it's not everyone, but maybe that's the beneficial side of making it a family-friendly event, that you won't have as many of them. Some boxing fans will treat this as a night out, go a bit crazy, and I think there's been cases of it getting almost violent in the crowds.
Okay.
But it's interesting, again, that they've separated that, in that they have a non-alcoholic section, and then a section where this might happen. I don't know. It's just a weird one for me. It's like, by splitting them up, are you saying the kids can't see what's happening over there? It's grand. Like, I just don't know. It's a weird, like, are you going to have two completely separate versions of this event?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to football matches, like big kind of derby matches over in the UK and stuff. And
as a 10-year-old though?
Yeah, like as a kid. And you'd sit in the family stand. And then once I've gotten a bit older, I'd go with my dad and we'd be in the kind of other end where you're standing up for 90 minutes watching the match, as opposed to like the family stand. Or at least that's what they did.
But is alcohol allowed in the stands?
So, okay, no, in fairness, but I'm acquainting your average angry English football fan at a derby with like drunk fans at any other sporting event in terms of chaos.
You'll get trouble like that at any event, maybe where people are just coming for, like we saw at the Ryder Cup, you know, those drunk fans, they weren't golf fans, they were just coming for the event. So I wouldn't say it's nothing to do with the boxing fan in particular. It's just, this is a big event that people are going to treat it as maybe a night out and not necessarily going for the boxing. But no, I wouldn't be worried about that. And the whole, the family friendly thing, I think boxing is like the epitome of controlled aggression. And anyone then that would step foot in a boxing ring would learn that, like, it's so grueling. It takes so much determination and belief, and that there's so much that can be learned from it, instead of, you know, just learning to channel yourself the right way. And like, I don't I would imagine anyone would take a negative from seeing boxing like that.
I think it does exist, that opinion, though. It's just interesting to address. I don't know which side I lie on. I think when I think about it in terms of, yeah, rugby is really aggressive as well. So why wouldn't you, why would you make that distinction? I think
could
boxing
have more of a, like, a social thing of it, maybe, the way people would view boxing sometimes.
I think it's a class thing.
Yeah.
I think it is a class thing. Mm. Yeah. That there's kind of no other, like, there is drinking allowed for rugby matches, and rugby matches are violent. There's drinking allowed at boxing matches, and boxing matches are violent. But there's only one that we're being said is not family friendly.
Yeah, but I think the evidence of the rowdiness in crowds at boxing events compared to a rugby event.
Yeah, no, I'm being a bit glib there. I'm not saying that it's not.
I think it's based on evidence of former situations that this is coming out, rather than just this class goes to boxing, this class goes to rugby. It must be worse.
Yeah. No, I'm being a bit glib there. I think it's good that they're dividing it into family sections. And I think that by getting ahead of things and by saying we're going to try and manage it as best as we can, hopefully this won't be a conversation after the fight.
Yeah.
If you get me.
It'll be really interesting to see. And as I said at the beginning of this podcast, they've invested a huge amount in security. And I do think that'll be quite tight to avoid any negative storylines coming out of this day, because that's also not what you want. You really don't want her incredible day to be overshadowed by some really drunk people who have a fight on the street outside of Crow Park, because, I mean, it happens at everything, but it just would be a bit sour, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it will. No. I think everyone will respect Katie and why they're there and just get absorbed in what is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Yeah. Just before we finish up, we wanted to talk about it being in Crow Park in general. You're happy about this, Rachel?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Our official Crow Park spokesperson.
Yeah, our GAN. We were chatting to some lads, our last audio clip, who had a similar opinion to Rachel.
Do you think it's important that it's in Crow Park? Like, people have said that the Aviva wouldn't have had the same atmosphere. Like, it's something really special about her getting to fight a standalone one in Crow Park.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think the Aviva atmosphere can be flat the best of times. Crow Park is just way better, to be honest. So, yeah, definitely.
You don't have any issues with boxing in Crow Park then? You're happy to see it happen?
No, sure. They're like that Leinster player and, you know. It's no hassle at all, like.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. Well, especially because she's Irish as well, you know. Yeah.
Do you think it's a good thing in general that so many other sports are coming to Crow Park?
I know, as long as it's not impacting the championship season, it's fine. I think, like, as long as it's kind of worked around the GA calendar, it's fine. Like, the NFL game there last year was unreal, like, so it's, I suppose, show the country off as best as it can be, like, as well, like, it's the best stadium, so no problem at all, as long as it's not impacting the gap.
I think there's maybe too many rugby games, but I know that's because the RDS are getting done up, but probably too many rugby games, but apart from that, it's fine.
Yeah, Broda's shaking her head in there. Yeah, I think it's just funny. I feel like this is much more welcome than maybe rugby crossing the Liffey over onto the north side is by the GAA faithfuls. I'm not sure what, maybe just because rugby has its own home and they just feel like, why are you kind of encroaching on our territory? Whereas Katie is so loved by everybody in Ireland, she crosses those kind of lines of in-between sports.
Yeah, and it's just such a class stadium when it's at capacity as well. Like, the atmosphere in there is incredible, and it's like one of the cultural hearts of the city. So for her to be able to fight there in the Swan Song is incredible. Like, it wouldn't have the same impact, I think, if it was in the Tree Arena, because we don't, I would say allow, because Crow Park doesn't host events like this very often, it's almost like the Irish public saying, like, this is how much you mean to us. Mm. You know, you're a trailblazer and you defy the usual laws, that I don't think anyone would really bat an eyelid. I haven't heard anyone say a negative word about this being in Crow Park. It's almost like, it's not even a question. You know, we'd be delighted to have her.
Yeah.
You know.
I also think because she stated her intentions of wanting it to be there, nowhere else would do. It's like, give her what she wants.
Yeah.
Do we have any other word in the studio other than give her what she wants? I feel like that's all. I'm just like, bow down to Katie. I don't care. Just get it done.
Actually, I meant to ask, September, I know it's September 5th. Is that a weekend?
It's a great question.
I'm just thinking, can I get it to Saturday?
I think just timing wise as well, it is great because, you know, you'd usually associate the, we used to associate those weekends with All Ireland finals. Yeah. But because it's so far away now from All Ireland final day, like the hurling is on the 19th of July, it's going to be a big enough gap that for people around the country, maybe who would be traveling a long distance, it's not saying, oh, we were up there now a week ago and we have to go back up the road again for this. Mm-hmm. So kids will just have gone back to school, I'd say, that week. That will really help as well, just in terms of ticket sales, because we saw it a lot last year with them. You know, ticket prices of things being expensive, people who are maybe only taking one trip to Croke Park, if say there was a hurling and a football team and a camogie team all competing from the same county. So timing wise as well, I think that lends itself to a really big crowd. It'd be great to be back in Croke Park in the first couple of Sundays in September. Nice little throwback.
Yeah. Okay, two questions before we finish up. One, will it sell out?
Yes.
Prediction before tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes, I agree. And Katie Taylor for president?
Sorry, I have one final question.
Oh.
I did ask someone on the street this earlier and we were talking about it in the office. There's going to be entertainment at it. Hasn't been announced yet. Who would be your ideal?
Oh, like a band or a singer or something?
Yeah, who would be your ideal person to?
Fontaines.
That's what your man on the street said.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd take Fontaines. Yeah, I feel like it fits.
Yeah, I would too.
That'd I also just really want to see them. I've not got a chance to see them yet. And
Are you buying a ticket for Katie?
Do you know what? Don't tempt me, because the reason I asked if it was on the Saturday is if I can go, because I don't work Saturdays, so I'll tell you next week if I got one.
Okay, next week we will be at the tennis Irish, no, it's not the Irish Open, it's the
ATP Challenger 75.
Yes, coming back to Dublin for the first time in ages. If you don't know what that is or don't know what it means, go back and have a look at our interview with Amar a couple of weeks ago, who's trying to get into the ATP top 500. He basically breaks down how important it is to have this event in Ireland, why it's incredible for Irish tennis players and why it's incredible for him on his journey to ATP top 500. But we will be there in Elm Park doing our Watts live, hopefully. So tune in for that. Anything else? No. Cool. All right. Thank you so much. Chat to you next week.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe in my county and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you. Hey!